Okay. Nobody else? Okay. Look in Psalm 27 here. And, you know, Joanne, you touched upon something. A lot of people are afraid today. And within the context of God's people here, I'd like to look at Psalm 27 here. It's written by David. And it's a very good psalm. It's 14 verses here. But out of the psalm here, we're going to go to the Old Testament here and look at a portion of Scripture. But I'd like to read Psalm 27 here and just follow along as I read verse 1 in Psalm 27. And think of it in the context of what people are facing today and the challenge of the unknown. Now, before I read Psalm 27, does anybody have peace about the direction our country is going and security in knowing our future? Do you feel any sense of that? Or do you feel a sense of uneasiness about the future and where is our country going? What decisions are leaders making for us? Where is it going to take us? I tend to be on the side of like, there's some uneasiness here about where we're going as a nation and what's going to happen. But with that being said, God wants to assure us that in our hearts and lives, He's in control. And Psalm 27 addresses the issues when we feel a little uncertainty about our future. Where's our life going? Where's my family going? Where's our nation going? And all these things we can think about. But follow along as I read Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war shall rise against me. In this I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelties. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Psalm 27, the encouragement and Your word. And Father, for the saints of God here tonight as we gather around, that I pray that You'd feed us with Your heavenly manna. May I be a vessel that honors Your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors Your word, the living word of God. So Lord, bless us here tonight. Encourage us, strengthen us, and guide us in the way of everlasting for Thy glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like here at the start, just to pick up on verse 3 here. Though a host should encamp against me, our heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me. In this I will be confident. What is our confidence? You know, it's so easy sometimes to look on just the horizontal plane and forget the vertical plane of God. So with that thought in mind, turn to the Old Testament here in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'd like to look at an encounter of the prophet Elisha here. And just about having our eyes open. Now we see, but do we see? Because people can see and see not. Do you know what I'm saying? You have eyes, but you don't see. And this is a very interesting passage here in the Old Testament, but I think it has some deeper spiritual truths for us tonight as God's people. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. Now, the king of Syria was no friend of Israel, and they were at odds with one another, and Syria was attacking the children of Israel. Verse 9, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for the Syrians are to come down. So basically, Elisha, God would reveal to Elisha, this is what the king of Syria is going to do. Tell the king of Israel, don't you go over here. They're going to have an ambush for you. If you pass by here, they're going to get you. And the king of Israel, he would check this out, just like he said. And verse 10, when the king of Israel sent to the place with the man of God told him and warned him of, and it saved him or prevented him there not once nor twice. Over and over, this kept happening. And verse 11, the king of Syria was sore troubled about this thing. Now, he'd sent an ambush. He wanted to capture, you know, do ambush raids. And every time his foil would be plotted, every time he tried, it would just disintegrate. Now, finally, he got frustrated here. He said, there is a traitor in our midst here. And verse 11, he said, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was troubled about this thing. He called his servant and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He just thought there's got to be a traitor in our midst. Now, I'm going to read verse 12, and then I want to talk about it here. And one of the servants said, none, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel told the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now, just think this through for a minute. Does God have a witness around the world of who he is? You know, for here, God wanted Israel to be a witness to the nations. And here this soldier of King Hadad was telling the Syrian servant here, was telling the king of Syria, hey, this is what's happening. Now, is that a witness of the power of God? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, here's this unsaved man telling another unsaved man about the power of God. And all these things happen to bring glory to God. But even they had this witness that was happening, that the very thing you're thinking, they know about. And so he thought, okay, this guy's telling all my secrets. So in his natural thinking, he's thinking, well, the best way, if this guy is telling all the secrets that I know that I'm making my battle plans, we need to get rid of this guy. Now think this through. If this guy knows all your secrets about how you're going to do your battle, and you're going to go do battle against him, what's the logical conclusion? He's going to know how you're going against. But do you see, he doesn't pick that through right here. His thinking is, he's thinking, I got to get rid of this guy, but he's not thinking this guy's going to know that I'm going to get rid of him, or trying to. But he just was told that he can do that. But what does that tell us about unsaved people sometimes, people that don't know God? Are they thinking clearly? No, they're not thinking clearly. Because they don't know God, they don't have God's spirit, they don't have God's word, they're not thinking clearly. But that was his plan of action. Okay, so he said, verse 10, go and spy, find out where he is, send that I can capture him, fetch him. And he was told he's in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great host, and it came by night, surrounded the city of Dothan. Verse 15. Now, I want to talk about this servant of in verse 15 here. When the servant of the man of God was Elisha, he had a servant. If you'll notice here, his servant is not named. He has no name. And I think there's a reason for that. Now, we knew, what was one of Elisha's other servants? Do you remember what his name was? Yes. He kind of fell off the scene there because he was not a good servant. And that's another story. But so we have a replacement. But this servant is not named. But I think there's a reason here, and I'll explain in a minute. When the servant of the man of God was risen early, he'd gone forth, and behold, the host compassed, the army compassed the city, both the horses and chariots. His servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Now, I want you to think about it. Now, in Psalm 27:3, the armies of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. Now, this servant, he's looking out. He gets up in the morning. He's an early riser. He gets up early. He goes out, and all of a sudden, he sees this army. He looks all around. They're surrounded. If you were that servant, what was your first feelings be?
We're dead.
Okay, we're dead? Okay. Fred was in the military. He understands battle tactics, okay? We're dead, okay? That thought in your mind, what would that do to you? That would produce, if you think you're going to die, what do your feelings go to? Fear, okay, fear, okay. Mild fear or intense fear? Very, very intense fear, okay. A lot of fear right here for this servant. Alas, my master, what shall we do? Now, Elisha told him, verse 16, said, first thing he told him is fear not. Now, why did he tell him fear not? Well, we'll see here. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, at this verse 16, he tells us, fear not. We got more on our side than they got on their side. Now, in the flesh, the servant, what is he thinking? How can that be? Now, God sometimes tells us things that we may not understand completely, but that doesn't make them any less true. Because from his perspective, he knows the big picture and he knows all things. That's because we don't have the understanding doesn't mean they're not true. Verse 16, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. Now, Elisha prayed. Now, his servant is very upset. Elisha's not upset. He didn't pray, Lord, take care of these Syrians out here. They're going to want to take my head off. Who did he pray for? He prayed for his servant, not the enemy. Now, are we God's servants? All right, we're going to face difficult times sometimes. And God is not so much interested in what's around us as what's in us. Because if we're full of fear, what kind of servant are we going to be? Not a very good servant. Because our fear is going to be driving our actions and our responses. But if we have good presence of mind, we have confidence in the Lord, we have trust in God, then our actions are going to be reflective of how we're thinking and acting. So Elisha was more interested in the servant than the enemies that were around him, because he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. Now that is a statement of faith on this part toward the servant, because he didn't understand. So Elisha said, well, I'm going to help you out here. Elisha prayed, said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, that is a good prayer for us to pray for ourselves and for one another. Because sometimes we need an eye opener to really see the real situation. Because sometimes we can look on the horizontal and there's problems. All everywhere we turn, there's a problem. And we can be fearful. But from God's perspective up here, God's looking down and says, I see things differently. And how you see things is going to affect your reaction and your actions. And Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. All of a sudden, God gave him spiritual insight. When you get saved and you read the Bible, now, I remember hearing, I don't know how to say this exactly, but a testimony of a man one time, he was in a church setting one time that this church didn't preach the gospel or anything. And he just told one of the other men about how to, like, when you stand up and speak, he says, don't try to speak from the Bible, you won't understand it. I just remember hearing this. I'm thinking, the problem is, why he didn't understand the Bible? Because he didn't know God. If you don't know God, you're not going to understand the Bible. And when he said, pray that your eyes are open, and for when you get saved, guess what? God opens your eyes. Then you can see things from the scriptures that other people who don't have God's spirit can't see. You can't apply it to your life. And so Elisha prayed, said, Lord, open this young man's eyes that he may see. The Lord opened his eyes. The young man saw, and behold, the mountains were full of the horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. Now, okay, here is the Syrian commander, Ben-Hadad. He does not see anything about how God's working in the lives of people. You got this young man who is right beside Elisha, a man of God, but his spiritual eyes weren't open until God opened his eyes, then he can see. And God dealt with his fear. And the mountains were full of the horses and chariots of fire round about it. Now, as soon as this young man saw that, where do you think his feelings went to? From being fearful to being what? confident, full of peace. But the reality of what was there never changed. It's just his perspective changed. All of a sudden, he could see what he couldn't see before. And it's important for us as God's people, because when we read something in Scripture and God speaks to us, it helps us see things differently than we never saw before. And that can change our feelings, that can change our attitudes, that can change our actions. And so here, the servant, why is the servant not named? Because I think it can be any one of us. Any one of us can be that servant that is fearful about the future, fearful about what is going to happen, fearful of the unknown. But what does God want us to do? What does Psalm 27 say down in the last verse here? Wait on the Lord, verse 14, 27, 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes we need an eye opener when we're facing things we don't know how to handle. Sometimes we need that eye opener that God can strengthen our heart. Did God strengthen the heart of this young man here? He did. He had a need. He was fearful. God strengthened his heart. And it was because of Elisha praying for him. So you might be one who's going through life and you can see somebody's having a tough time. You can pray for them that God would open their eyes to give them that inner strength to get through the day. We can be the ones that pray one for another to help one another, because there are Christians that are fearful and not sure about tomorrow and not sure where their life's going, but God can open their eyes to give them the confidence. We can pray for them that God will work in their life to give them the confidence. All right, well, that's for the young man. Now, for the unbelievers here in verse 18, when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, said, smite this people, I pray, with blindness. Now, you got one person's eyes being opened, the next person being blinded, and they smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. And so what you have happening here, it wasn't like total blindness, but it's just their understanding was darkened. But there was a point in this. And so Elisha led them right into Samaria, into the capital. When it came to Vaas, verse 20, they would come to Samaria. That Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes. And behold, they were in the midst of them. All of a sudden, they come into the city of Samaria. They were like, how did we get here? All of a sudden, they were like, uh-oh, this isn't good. Now, look how this is handled here. When the king of Israel, he saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered and said, thou shalt not smite them. Would thou smite those whom has taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Turn to Romans chapter 12 here just for a minute. How do you get people's eyes open sometimes? Answers in Romans chapter 12 here. Some people, they're blinded. They don't see. They don't see the things of God. Okay, look in Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. Were the Syrians their enemy? Okay? Elijah said, you feed them. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. You want to open somebody's eyes? You do good to somebody that's not doing good to you. And you're going to open their eyes in a sense, because they're going to be befuddled. Because how does the world treat people? You hit me, I'm going to what? Hit you back. That's how the world is. You strike me, I'm going to strike you back. You do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. So how do you get unbelievers whose eyes are closed to see the love of God in their life? By you doing good to those that don't do good to you. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, you ever heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? What did that story do? They killed somebody here, so they retaliate and killed back. You killed me, I killed you. And that went on for generations. They were killing each other. How do you overcome evil with more evil? Is that how you overcome evil? Just put more evil there? God says, vengeance is what? Mine. Well, they set food and drink before these, in verse 22 of 2 Kings 6, set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master, so the bands of the Syrians came no more into the land of Israel. You do good to your enemies and you'll be blessed. And they had peace in the land at that time. For a period of time, they had peace. You know, what a chapter here about eye-openers. You know, you had the Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and he was totally blinded to how God, the power of God. And then you had the servant who couldn't see, but God opened his spiritual eyes that he could see the protection of God around his servant Elisha. And then you had these people here, the soldiers. They were made blind, but then they were made to see, all so they could realize the graciousness of God in their lives. People need eye openers. Well, turn back here to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That is a good verse for us to claim this year, because we need that assurance that God is going to be with us. And we can sometimes in the flesh, in the natural, say, how is this going to work out? But God can open our eyes and help us see that he's got things in control. And yes. Anybody have any thoughts about what we've talked about here tonight, about blind eyes made to see and seeing eyes made blind? Any thoughts or insights?
This is all the Lord's doing.
Yes.
Not what we wish men would do for us.
Okay.
The man to solve the issues. Elisha would break to God and said, show him what's going on.
Right. Right.
That's what we need to be focused this year.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we need God more than ever. Nation. Yes, be focused on him. Absolutely. Yes.
I get in the psalm where you read verse number 4.
Okay. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord and acquire in his temple. That's a good verse, Victor. Yes, I like that verse. Yes, verse 4. And that's where it should drive us, because if our heart is fearful and troubled, we're not going to be worshiping the Lord the way we should. Yes, that's a great verse. Any other thoughts here tonight?
With our eyes being open, just to with everything that's going on in the world, just kind of maybe see the big picture, and you can kind of see how God is moving the pieces around. You know, while we may not like what's going on, but you can, you know, when you see the prophecy and everything, you kind of see why things are happening and what's happening. And there's a piece in that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, knowing God's working them all together for good. Yes, because we can trust him. Yes, absolutely. Yes, God can move the pieces together. That's right. Yes. Yes. Some good thoughts there, Brian. Thank you. All righty. Well, there's no other thoughts. Let's close here in prayer, and then Bob can take some prayer requests for us. Dear Lord, thank you for what we've looked at here tonight. And Father, may you open each of our eyes this coming year. Father, help us not to fear or be fearful of the future, because, Lord, you hold us in the hollow of your hand, and nobody can separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Father, you're a faithful God. Lord, you do all things well. And Father, you know the end from the beginning. You're the Alpha and the Omega. And Father, we trust you. We love you. We need you, God. And you're our God. And Father, I pray that we wouldn't faint, but Lord, that we'd be strong in courage and strength. And Lord, I thank you for your promises to us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that as we wait on the Lord, that we can be of good courage. And Father, that you will strengthen our hearts in the coming week and months and years to come, Lord. And we'll wait on you, God, in the long hours, knowing that you're our God and we trust you. And that you work all things together for good in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.